The Afternoon Saloon, ESPN 1000.
Now the stretch, the pitch.
One of the greatest second basemen ever play the game. Ryan Sandberg joins Carmen Yurko and Harry on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com as we head out to Arizona and pick it up with the Hall of Famer. Rhino, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. Were you jumping for joy over the weekend when you heard Lou Piniella say that the plan is to start Starlin Castro at AAA Iowa?
Well, sure, if that's the case, but you know, like anything else, there's a lot of spring training to be had. Today was just the first day of all the regulars down at the minor league camp. And, you know, those players come in there and have to kind of earn their spots. But if that's what's decided, you know, I had Starlin the last 6 weeks of the season last year when we were coming down the stretch. And we ended up winning the second half and winning in the playoffs and going to the championship. And he played a big part in that. So if that's what's decided for his development, that'd be great.
He's so young, but the way people talk about him, you know, everybody believes he's going to be the real deal someday. What do you see in him? What's so good about Starlin Castro?
Well, you're right. He is so young, but what he did last year was just incredible when you think about it. He broke camp and started off at A-ball. He did well there. Obviously, he went to high A. He came to me double A. And he adjusted to each level and then went to Arizona Fall League, which is, double A players, some guys heading to triple A, and he was outstanding there. So what he accomplished in 1 year and the growth that he made in 1 year was just something else, but, he still is just 20 years old. I think experience might be just a little bit of an issue as far as him getting to the big leagues in the near future, but what he does on a field is he just has all the tools. He has a very good arm. He has range. He's a lanky guy, covers a lot of ground. He charges the ball very well and makes that off balance throw. And then on the offensive side of it, he knows how to make adjustments at home plate, which is very good for a young hitter. And he'll adjust to the breaking ball. He'll adjust at bat to at bat, and he just did a lot of things that opened up a lot of eyes, and deservingly so. He finds himself in major league camp, and he's done a nice job up till now.
Rhino, always a pleasure. We can't get enough Ryan Sandberg on this radio
station.
All right,
thank you.
Do you do anything different at AAA than you did on your way up to AAA?
Compared to last year, I think as far as myself.
Yeah, do you manage? Is it different teaching, different game managing, stay in nicer hotels? What happens?
Well, the hotels will be a lot nicer, let me tell you that. And the restaurants will be maybe five or six steps above what I've been used to. But, you know, I think as far as the job, it'll be the same day in, day out stuff, organizing the day, working with the players, obviously, all those things. As far as baseball goes, will be pretty much the same. You know, I think that I'll work much closer to the major league club, talking to Lou on occasion and talking to their coaches on possible moves that they might be thinking about, and just them checking up to see how different guys are playing and possibly my thoughts on different players. That's as far as our own guys go. And also, I would imagine I'll be more of a scout as far as opposing players that might be called up to other teams on what I saw with that player, whether it was a pitcher or a hitter, and give a little scouting report to our club on those guys. So other than that, it'll be just baseball as I've been doing the last few years, and obviously with better talent. I have a good crop of young players that I had last year. I think will be with me in Des Moines, along with a handful of some older veterans that'll be there for insurance for the major league club.
Rhino, I'm going to give you a real life scenario here. This Cubs squad looks like they might be a little bit short in the bullpen because of injuries and other such things. What young arms that have been in the system might be able to come up and provide instantaneous bullpen help for the Chicago Cubs?
Well, a couple of guys that come to mind, there's a couple of lefties. John Gobb is a nice lefty I had last year, and he's in camp this year doing a nice job. And also James Russell, another left-handed pitcher. Both young guys, but both showing that what they can do. Two guys from the right side that have done well in camp. Andrew Cashner, who I had last year, and Casey Coleman. All four guys are under 23, I believe. So those are some young arms that I see that could help. And Mateo is another one, a bullpen type of guy that throws hard. He can have a shot, and you just never know. My message to my club in Des Moines will be, hey, you know, we're just a phone call away now, and whoever's getting the job done, whoever's on a roll, whoever's in a groove, you know, it could be their call. So it also opens it up to possibly anybody on that staff.
Ryan Sandberg joining us, Carmen Yurko and Harry on ESPN 1000. Ryan, you're a Hall of Fame player. From where you started with the Chiefs, from A-ball to Double-A, now to Triple-A this year, what other little nuances of the game maybe have you learned about baseball, about managing baseball? Compare that to the way you learned as a big league player.
Well, I think as a player, obviously, I knew what I had to do on a daily basis to get myself ready to play that game, and I worked very closely with the first baseman and the shortstop on a daily basis. As far as manager, it's pretty incredible. I mean, you think about all the guys on your team. You think about what each guy might need to get him over the hump, to move him up the ladder. You think about your group as a team, what you need to do as a team to play well and to win games. And so there's definitely a lot more to it. Even running the game is there's just so much to think about. And I must say, 3 years ago, it took me about a half a season to really slow the game down, where it became much slower, and I stayed ahead of the game. But that's kind of where I'm at now, and I enjoy that part of it. Once the game starts, the run of the game and getting the guys going to win a ball game, put them in the position to win, and there's a lot to that. So, you know, this has been a tremendous learning experience from the get-go, and as far as managing at the major league level, I think this is the way to go.
Rhino, the conversation that we have to have is Pinella could be in his last year. Tom Ricketts, our new owner, we finally have an owner, has said that you are amongst his all-time favorite Cubs. He used to go to the games and sit and watch you as a player. How much time do you allow yourself to think about that you are the Cubs manager and waiting for perhaps next season?
Well, not too much, actually. I'm very focused, as I was as a player, on what I have to do right now and what my responsibilities are right now. And so, things have gone progressively well, moving up the ladder. I mean, that's always a good thing. And I'm anxious about this year. I'm very excited about going to Des Moines and staying with the guys that I've had coming up. I'm excited about the future of the Cubs with the players that are coming up. I think that there could be a handful of players that could see some action at Wrigley Field this year or next year. So that's good for the future, and that's kind of where my focus is right now, because that's what I'm doing. So even in big league camp right now, I can't help but watch the players that I've had and talk to them on a daily basis, as I do with the parent club. But it's exciting for me to see these guys that I've been with and I've kind of taught the ropes a little bit, doing well and just fitting into the system and really, really looking like, potential major leaguers out there.
At what point does the spring training start to drag a little for players and managers?
Well, I would say, you know, the last 10 days gets to be a little bit old. But on the other hand, that's the time where kind of the fine tuning starts, because when you break camp, you want to be headed to your cities or headed north on a positive note with guys having a good stroke and everybody healthy is always a big thing. But Last year was much longer with the World Classic going on. I think it was about 10 days longer than this spring. This spring seems to be going by fairly quickly. We've had some shorter days because of some bad weather and rain, so it seems to be flying by this year.
Hey, Rhino, before we let you go, your buddy Maddox is in the fold. What do you see as the future for Greg Maddox? Is he going to be like an executive one day, you know, just be like become a GM, or do you see him as a pitching coach, or is he just going to keep, you know, sucking up to Ricketts to become the manager ahead of you?
You know what? It's just great to see him in camp and in a Cubs uniform. He's been hanging around. He's been obviously working with the pitchers and hanging around with those guys. I don't know. I'm not sure what his interests are, but like I told him when I first saw him, I said, "Hey, you know, this is a good thing. If you have any interest in staying in the game, this is the way to do it. Is once you're asked and have an opportunity, jump all over that and keep that foot in the door." So, you know, for me, I could see him on the baseball side of it. Being a pitching coach, I think he'd be great at that. And he was a big student of the game and a guy that studied second to none the opposing lineups and making adjustments from game to game. So I think he'd be great in the pitching side of it. So hopefully that's what he's got in mind. But it's good to see him have a little taste of it to see if that's something he'd like to do.
Thank you for the time, Rhino. We wish you the best.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Talk to you later. Number 23, Hall of Famer Ryan Sandberg.
Right now, we have Ross
Doxey. He is the chairman and CEO of the USO of Illinois Board of Directors. And in conjunction with the Blackhawks, they select the members, the men and women of the armed services that you always see on the ice presenting the colors with Jim Cornelissen when he is belting out the Star Spangled Banner and the whole place goes crazy. So, Ross, thank you very much for some of your time today. And quickly here, give us just sort of a recap of what your military career consisted of, so everybody has an idea exactly of your background.
Well, thank you for having me on and giving me an opportunity to respond. I joined the Army in 1969 when I was 17 and was admitted to the Military Academy at West Point. I graduated in 1973, served on active duty in the United States and in Europe for 5 years, then became a member of the Army Reserve, served in the Army Reserve for another 3 years, active Army Reserve, inactive Reserve for 3 years after that, and then left the military, but the military never left my heart.
When the first time you were at the United Center, and maybe you even go back to the stadium, Ross, I don't know, you can tell us a little bit about it. When you first either heard or experienced the tradition for yourself, as someone who served as long as you did for this country, what was your reaction to the way fans clap and cheer during the national anthem at the United Center before Hawks games?
I loved it. There is nothing that aggravates me more than to be at a sporting event when the national anthem is played and I look around and many of the fans are talking to their friends, talking on their cell phones, not paying attention to the flag, not paying attention to the national anthem. It is for them a non-event. At the United Center, especially during Blackhawk games, it's the polar opposite. The fans are so deeply involved, it ought to serve as a model for what everyone does everywhere.
I love going to Hawks games, and I make sure I'm there for the national anthem because it's such a great experience. And I remember going to the game right after we won the Olympic gold medal in 1980. And the reason people cheered, not only to get the Hawks fired up, but we were so proud of our country. We were so proud of our amateurs going and beating the best, you know, people from Russia. If you could talk to this dude who's sitting in his basement in Detroit, who's writing that he's offended every time the Blackhawks fans cheer, what would you say to this guy?
Well, I'd start out by saying Francis Scott Key penned the national anthem as a poem in September 1814. When he woke up in the morning and found that the flag was still flying over Fort McHenry, you can bet your bottom dollar that the people who saw that flag flying over Fort McHenry didn't sit there somberly and say, "Oh, gee, shucks, isn't it nice? The flag is still flying." They were applauding in 1814. The soldiers who have been out on the ice for the Blackhawk games have come away from the experience describing it as a life-altering experience. We had a soldier on the ice just a couple of nights ago. His name was Don Casey. He was an airman who fought in World War II. He was a prisoner of war in the prison camp made famous by the movie The Great Escape. He's in his mid-80s. When he left the game, as he was climbing into a cab, he turned to one of the USO people who was with him and said, "My life is complete." Al Lynch, recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor during Vietnam, was honored on November 11th at Veterans Day. When Al came off the ice, it was with a tear in his eye. And Al said, "I have never felt as appreciated as I have been by the fans here tonight." That's exactly what we at the USO were hoping would happen when the Blackhawks graciously agreed to help us do this.
We're talking with Ross Doxey, Chairman and CEO of the USO of Illinois Board of Directors.
Hey, Ross, Rob Otto, when he was on, started firing this code at us. You know, it's code. It's in the code. It's this. It's that. What of this code? And what does it say? I mean, we read it on air here, but it didn't sound like what the Blackhawks were doing was necessarily covered with the code.
Well, it's interesting you ask. I had not intended to touch on the code because I am a corporate lawyer and I could bore people to tears by analyzing the code. What I will tell you are a couple of things. First, the code are a set of guidelines. This is not a statute enforceable as a matter of law. Having said that, the guidelines are all about showing respect for the flag and showing respect for the anthem. The guidelines say that you will stand at attention during the national anthem. If you are in civilian clothes, you will have your hand over your heart. If you're in uniform, you will salute. If you have a hat, you will take it off, hold the hat over your left shoulder with your hand over your heart, showing respect for the national anthem. I challenge you to find anything in that code that says that you will not sing along. I challenge you to find anything in that code that says that you will not yell, shout, and scream your appreciation. The purpose of the code is to set a standard, an ethical standard, not a legal standard, for supporting our country, our flag, our national anthem. And that's exactly what the men and women at the United Center are doing during the Blackhawk games. And as importantly, because the Blackhawks have made it possible, we have men and women from the armed forces recently returned from Iraq and Afghanistan, or aging veterans like me, down on the ice, who are basking in the glory of this applause. And I can think of nothing that is a more fitting tribute to the flag, to the anthem, and to the men and women of the armed forces.
Is there a long line of people that are asking you, Ross, if they can get the opportunity to get on the ice?
Yes, this has become, in very short order, one of the most popular programs that the USO offers. The USO, United Services Organization, is a not-for-profit corporation, privately funded by donations, not supported by the United States government. Most people know us because they remember Bob Hope and the USO shows, but we are so much more than that. We are an organization dedicated to supporting the men and women in the armed forces and their families. And the single most popular program that we have now is the Blackhawks program. It's important for the military members who are down on the ice, but I can't state this strongly enough. It is appreciated tremendously by every member of the military, by every veteran who's sitting in the stands, because you know some percentage of the 22,000 filling those seats are people like me, former military, who listen to this, remember the way the military was treated, remember the way the flag was treated, remember the way the anthem was treated during the Vietnam War. Listen to this and say, thank God, somebody gets it. Somebody understands the sacrifice that these men and women are making. Someone appreciates them, and the Blackhawk fans do, and I hope that never changes.
And so you've never personally heard anyone saying that they did find it. In a position like you're in, or someone that is currently serving, or someone that did serve in the armed forces for this country, that found it disrespectful?
I had a conversation yesterday with one person whom I respect who said, gee, I don't think that's the right way to behave during the national anthem. What I do when I listen to the national anthem is I stand up, I put my hand over my heart, and I sing along. But he quickly acknowledged that was his personal way of recognizing the anthem, his personal way of showing respect And he did not consider it disrespectful that others would show their respect more vocally. I'm not telling you that everybody, when they listen to the national anthem, has to yell and scream. It's perfectly fine to stand at attention with your hand over your heart, listening or singing along. And yes, there are going to be, Emily Post has her rules of etiquette. Mr. Otto has his. I have mine. I will tell you, mine are different from his. And the vast majority, and by that I mean every single person with whom I've discussed this issue except one, it was strongly supportive of the way that, the Blackhawks fans react at Blackhawks games.
Final minute with Ross Doxey, the chairman and CEO of the USO of Illinois Board of Directors.
Ross, any of these military people on the ice, can any of them play goalie?
I have a good friend who played goalie at West Point who has volunteered to come down and play. But I will tell you, he also dearly loves the two goalies that the Blackhawks already have.
Ross, thank you for your service to our country, and thanks for shedding some light on this with us today. We do appreciate it.
My pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you.
Every day at 4, we go out to Arizona. We talk with Bruce Levine, gives us the latest in spring training with the White Sox in Glendale today. He joins Carmen Yurko and Harry, and he's brought to you by Jeff Vukovich of Nationwide Insurance. For all your insurance needs, call Vuk today in Park Ridge at 847-825-4783, or you can visit jeffvuk.com. That's Jeff, V-U-K. com. Are you going to Woodjock tonight?
You know, I'm trying to get a free ticket, but at this point, I'm not having much success.
Come on, you're Bruce Levine.
Well, my friend Del Matthews of the White Sox said he would open the door up for me when he gets in there. So
sneak in.
Yeah, but I think I can pop for it, or ESPN 1000 can pay for it. So, yeah, it should be a real nice event, and I know Jake Peavy's scheduled to come on with you guys tomorrow afterwards to talk about it. So it should be fun times.
Bruce, what inside information have you on this concert? Is there any chance that something's going to get ugly? Who will be the star of the show? Was Omar Vizquel going to be solo or with the band?
I think Peavy and Bernie Williams are going to be the stars of the show. Bernie Williams is quite an accomplished musician. I heard him play at a couple All-Star games, and you would be surprised how good of a guitar player and singer Bernie Williams is. And I think PB has his own flair with his style of country music as well. So I'm excited about it, but Vizquel should be interesting. I want to know if this is going to be a little bit of Venezuelan country music. I'm waiting to see and try to – I'll report back to you guys tomorrow afternoon.
Bruce, they're going to have both country and Western, and will we hear some reggaeton?
I think there's going to be a little Zydeco if you're interested.
Oh, absolutely.
Your grandma, my grandma.
I think there might be a couple of musical treats along the way, including some musicians that aren't scheduled, actual musicians. So it should be fun to show up and try to sneak in.
Bruce is with the White Sox in Glendale today. Carmen Yurko and Harry on ESPN 1000 till 6:30. Then it's Bulls Magic. Steve Cashel has your pregame. We are the home of the Bulls. What's going on with Andrew Jones? I mean, he's killing the ball right now. It's spring training. That's it. But are they a little bit blown away at how well he's played?
Well, I think they're very pleased. From the time I got here, when I saw him in the middle of February, he just looks like the old Andrew Jones, the guy who, has a good body, can run, not afraid to steal bases, go out there and chase down fly balls like nobody else ever did. I mean, most people feel that Andrew Jones was the best center fielder this side of Joe DiMaggio over the last 30 or 40 years. And I think he's looking to reclaim the fact that he can still play at age 32 going on 33. So from the perspective of making the team, there's no question about it. As to how much he plays, I think he's determining that he's going to get some more playing time because he's forcing the issue with Ozzy.
Nobody plays it more shallow than Andrew Jones. What does the $60 million man, Alex Rios, have to do to lose the center field job and become a bench player?
I think, it would have to be something really, really significant. Rios is hitting the ball well. The problem with his throwing is never going to be good. Every year he reports spring training, he's got chronic back shoulder problems. So the idea that he's going to be a great throw. Right now, with today's game, you have Pierre in left, and Rios in center and Quinton in right. Quinton by far has a better arm, but not quite as accurate as he wants it to be right now. But those first two arms, not really great. They can go get a ball, but as far as throwing goes, not exactly what you want.
That small ball has been an effect a little bit, though. Again, yesterday they scored a bunch of runs without hitting it out of the park, and Juan Pierre looks like he's already making a difference on the bases.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, you know, the professionalism of this White Sox team and the guys that they brought in, you know, are kind of off the chart when you bring in a guy like Pierre and Vizquel, you know, a future Hall of Famer, and Jones, who has, you know, certainly has a different perspective on his career at this point. You have Kotze, you know, left over from last year and brought back. You know, it's very, very professional. And I think, you know, if Ozzie doesn't tax these guys too much, I think he's going to get a heck of a lot out of his bench.
Bruce, this may be the last year for an A.J. Pierzynski. We heard, you know, earlier this season out on Comcast when they asked about the icons on this team, and they talked about Paul Konerko and A.J. Pierzynski. Kenny Williams almost broke down in laughter when he heard A.J. referred to as an icon. If this is his last year, are the White Sox in good shape with Flowers in there at catcher when they move forward?
They feel so. You know, I think he'll go to AAA and then catch a whole season there, and they feel that he's a legitimate prospect. Offensively, great power. Defensively, was named the Southern League Catcher of the Year defensively last year. He still has a little work to do behind the plate. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. A.J. Pierzynski is one of the smartest and best catchers in baseball when it comes to defense and calling a game. And, I mean, that is such a significant thing for a catcher, to be able to call a great game. And nobody in baseball, I think, calls a better game than A.J. But that's hard to quantify for the average baseball fan when they see a guy just sitting back there putting down a finger and getting different pitches. He is just one of the smarter guys, baseball IQ-wise, in the game. And he would be missed sorely once he's gone. Nonetheless, they feel Flowers is ready after this season to probably take the spot.
Bruce, Torrey Hunter, now with the Texas Rangers, caused quite a stir yesterday by coming out and saying that... he didn't get traded. He came out and he said that dark-skinned Latino players are imposters. Was there any backlash? Are people down there in the Cactus League talking about Torrey Hunter's comments?
Yeah, Torrey admitted to a misuse of the word. Imposter is a very tough word to use for. He was trying to get across the fact that a lot of American baseball people have used the Latin players as substitute for African Americans because of the fact that they don't want to scout the United States hard enough and get, you know, young black players out there. I agree with it to a small percentage, but to a larger percentage, I agree that if you look back over the last 25, 30 years, your great African-American athletes are going toward football and basketball. And more importantly, there is a greater avenue for them out there, and it's a quicker ascension to the professional ranks than it is for Major League Baseball. I think that has to do with it more than anything else.
Any nuggets, Bruce, before we let you go?
You know, just over at Cub Camp this morning, you know, I talked to Crane Kenny for 45 minutes, and he said that, although the tax is probably going to be necessary, you know, on ticket prices, mm-hmm. he feels that the Cubs can get their complex here without the use of that surtax, and that it can be done with just, you know, some automobile taxes here, and that doesn't have to be you know, all the other teams contributing to the Cubs. Mm.
And that's good for some of the teams that are protesting it. All right, thank you, Bruce. We will talk to you tomorrow.
All right, later.
All right, that's Bruce Levine, brought to you by Jeff Vukovich of Nationwide Insurance. For all your insurance needs, call Vuk in Park Ridge today at 847-825-4783 or visit jeffvuk.com.
The Afternoon Saloon, ESPN 1000.
Burris goes rink wide here to Eater. This mystery line now looks trapped in front of the bench here. Kloon and Burris tangling. Now Burris, after Kloon got in 1-2, now one to the side of the head. Burris answers with a right. Well, let's see now. About 12 seconds of ice time. We got 5 penalty minutes for Burris and an assist.
Came up a little bit short going for that Gordie Howe hat trick, but it was still nice to see number 37 back on the ice and doing what he does best, agitating, mixing it up. Carmen Yurko and Harry on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. Adam Burris will join us momentarily. We're off at 6:30. Then Steve Cash will take over pregame for Bulls Magic tonight. down in Orlando.
Remember, we're going to Ireland next week.
Yes.
Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Waddle and Sylvie, nice enough to do our show. They'll be on 2 to 6. And then we will be on 9 a.m. to 1, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're going to drink Jameson's. I mean, we're going to do the show from Jameson's.
We're going to be smoking.
Irish,
drink Jameson, too.
Irish whiskey. Irish whiskey at its finest.
We had some Jameson's after the show last night.
It was good, too. Triple distilled, you know. That's what makes that Irish whiskey
silky.
Great.
By the way, Bob Boxer and John Herney, they've...
Our engineers
just got done increasing the broadband and the radio width for when we take over at 9 to 1, because they're expecting an influx.
6 to 7, they playing an hour of us or an hour of Waddle and Sylvie?
I think it should be an hour of Waddle and Sylvie.
That's a good
question.
It's
the best of. That should be the normal,
I
right?
have no idea. Number 37 is with us. Adam Burrish joins Carmen Yurko and Harry on ESPN 1000. Nice return last night. That had to feel pretty good.
Carmen, it was awesome. I had so much fun last night. I'm still excited right now. I had a blast. It was just after 5 months of watching hockey to kind of finally be out there again. It couldn't have been better. The first couple shifts felt like I was in a video game. It was fun out there.
You told us when you were in January, we had you in studio, you said, look, yep. You guys are going to know it when I'm back out on the ice. I'm going to have an impact right away. You had the assist. You get in the fight. Did you know that you wanted a scrap? I mean, how did you pick the opponent for the fight last night?
Yeah, well, you know, all along that was kind of my mindset going, you know, the whole time you're rehabbing, what you really think about is your first game, or what's my first game going to be like? And I was, you know, I've been telling people, trust me, I promise you, you will see 37 doing something wild and fun on the ice, and you'll notice me. I promise you that. And so, going into the game, you sit in the locker room or you sit at home before the game, and you know, you visualize your first shift and what do you want to do? Because that's always kind of, you have a good first shift that kind of sets the tone for your game and it kind of gets you ready. And so you visualize that first shift. And for me, it was, you know, I'm going to get out there. I'm going to play the first shift, you know, hopefully score a goal. Hopefully, you know, do something positive that way. And by the end of that shift, if we score, if we don't score, I'm going to go grab somebody and I'm going to get in a fight. I want to get it out of the way. I want to get the crowd excited. And so before the game, you look over their lineup and I saw this Kloon guy. I know he likes to fight. I know he's kind of an energy guy. I know he's a little bit of a clown. And so, sure enough, we get out there the first shift. We score a goal. Perfect. So we score the goal, and after we scored the goal, we're still out there. I go take the face off. I see this Kloon guy skate across the ice. I wasn't even worried about the puck out there. I was going to find this guy. I was going to fight him. No questions asked. And so I kind of got excited once I saw him on the ice. And sure enough, the play just kind of came around. He skated by me, and we looked at each other, and that was it.
What'd Q think? What'd Q think of the instant energy?
I think he liked it. He came over after I served my penalty in the 5 minutes and came back and he gave me a pat on the butt and said, you know, good job, good first shift, you know, way to go. And so I think he liked all the guys. I looked over in the penalty box and they were all kind of laughing at me and they were all kind of pumped up and a couple guys skated by the penalty box and kind of gave me a little look and a laugh. In the locker room, the guys, you know, had a blast. But it was funny because before the game, all the guys were telling me, holy man, I can't wait to see your first shift. This is going to be crazy. So put your seatbelts on for this one. And I said, oh, I'm going to give you guys something right off the bat. I'll give you guys something to get excited about. It played out perfectly.
First of all, Stan Bowman's got to get out the bank and give you a lot of money to make sure that you're here for a while.
I've always said you're my agent. You got to keep helping me.
it's apparent to anybody that's watched the game last night. All right. I love setting up the Sharpie goal. I love you getting in the fight. But my favorite moment of last night, besides the game-winning goal, of course, was your skate from over by your bench after the fight to the penalty box. You must have had about 4 or 5 fist pumps and 20,000 of your closest friends embracing you. Can you describe what that felt like, just the return to ice, the fist pumps, as you skated over to your favorite place, the penalty box?
It was so cool. You know, my mom asked me the same question today when I talked to her, and she called me and she said, "I saw when you raised your hands up to the crowd and you gave a couple fist pumps. What was it like?" And I was like, "It was unbelievable. I mean, I had chills when I was skating the penalty box. Once I sat down and I heard that, and it was just emotional for me. It was like 5 months of just pent up anger, like letting a dog out of the cage for the first time. And I was just like, all right, I'm back. Here we go. You know, this is what you're going to get every night out of me. You're going to get 100% no matter what. And first shift or my last shift, this is what you're going to get. And it was just kind of like, let's go. You know, I'm back. This team's back. Like, I want to feel the energy. And, you know, just that roar was unbelievable when I kind of threw my hands up and, it was crazy. It was awesome. And that's why this building is so much fun to play in right now. I think it's just because of that energy and, that you feel. And as a player, that's a treat. You know, for me, that's my reward. You know, nobody saw the work that I was doing in the gym and the garbage rehab I had to do every day. And it sucked. It was brutal. It was boring. And, you know, that energy from the crowd and that reaction, that's my reward. That's my pat on the back. And it was pretty cool for me.
Blackhawk center Adam Burrish is with us on ESPN 1000.
Hey, does Q got you on a one fight limit? It looked to me like that big number 41 Ivanins wanted a piece of you. And Q may have said, nah, I don't think so.
No, he doesn't put a leash on me, but you know what it was that guy, you know what I told him is he runs his mouth and he speaks really broken English.
Yeah,
and
he's
such a bad player. I mean, he can't even skate. And so I kept telling him, I said, even odds. I said, you only need one left skate. You got two left skates on out here. That's why you can only turn one way. Yeah, you can only turn to the left because you got two left skates on. Try a right and a left and maybe you'll skate better.
Burr, who's on the docket for the Flyers? Who are you going to attack on the Capitals? What we look for? What are the big fights this weekend?
I'm not putting names out there. I don't know because then I think about it too much and I get too fired up. I don't know though, but you're gonna get that energy and you're gonna get that passionate guy out there. I'll promise you that. I don't know when it's gonna happen. I won't promise a first shift one anymore. I got that first one out of the way, but you know, I'm gonna be out there, you know, flying around and creating that energy. I can promise you that.
Nothing can duplicate, no matter how hard you work, when you're rehabbing. You know, the speed of the game, the fatigue factor. Were you exhausted last night?
You know what? I felt pretty good all game. I was surprised. I felt good going through the last couple, about the month of practice here, with my conditioning and my strength and everything. You know, I feel faster now. My skating feels better than it ever has. I mean, because I've had 5 months to work on it. I've never had 5 months to work on it in my entire career. Usually you get 2 months to work on it. So I've had 5 months to really get my body in shape and my skating. I feel as fast as I've ever felt. You know, I put on about 6 pounds, you know, of muscle, so I feel stronger. But I was so tired after that first shift, after that fight. I needed every second of that 5 minutes to catch my breath. I was beat. And then, you know, after the 5 minutes, I kind of regrouped a little bit and I felt better, but, that first shift, I was exhausted. I was like, man, am I that out of shape right now? Am I that tired? But you know, you kind of think about it was a long fight and first shift. And, but I felt good. I felt great. And I was excited about the way I felt out there.
Hey, Burr, before we let you go and unleash you on the women of Chicago, you play on a team with superstars. You play on a team with Olympic heroes, yet you have like this special connection with the Blackhawk fans. Do any of these superstar teammates of yours ever like give you a hard time, say they're jealous of your connection with the fans?
Yeah, I think Sharp gets jealous of me. I think a little bit. You know what? I think, you know, he gets mad at you know, maybe going to take his spotlight. That's why he wanted to score that overtime goal last night, because he didn't want me to take too much of his spotlight. Kane didn't talk to me after the game because he was so mad I took his spotlight. No, I'm kidding. It's cool. You know, that was the cool thing about the guys is I really appreciated it. Is, you know, after a long 5 months, the guys were so awesome with me before the game and, you know, after the game, after the fight, I think every guy came and said good job to me and a great first shift in the locker room, you know, after the first and even before the game, all the guys were like, hey, we're so excited for you to be back and, you know, I can't wait to watch you out there tonight and, you know, have a great game. And it was awesome. I mean, guys, you know, they looked out for me and they helped me and they supported me and, you know, they kind of patted me on the back and because you're nervous. I was nervous before the game. I won't lie to you. It's your first game after you're not playing for 5 months. You don't know how it's going to go. And they were awesome with me and, but I love that connection. I'll tell you what, I feel that connection with the fans. And when I'm out there, I can hear them kind of get excited. Or when I got in that fight, I felt that energy that they have. And that's cool. And I appreciate that. And I have fun with it. And I try to, you know, I guess for me, I try to give it back to them. I try to give them that, you know, that energy and that passion back.
I guess there was a sign in the crowd and you saw it. Someone said, hey, Burrish, my grandma's pregnant. What was that? What were they insinuating with that?
I'm skating around warm-ups and all the guys are kind of laughing at it and saying, Burr, you see that sign over there? And I skate by and I go right in front of the glass and I kind of stopped because it says, Burrish, my grandma's pregnant.
What?
So I took another lap, and then I stopped again, and I looked at the kid and his dad, and they're both laughing at me, and I said, hey, it's not mine.
All right, well, it was a great debut last night, and it was important you guys got those 2 points. So have a great weekend in Philly, then back home against Ovechkin, and we'll talk to you soon, Adam.
All right, Carmen Yurko, Harry, thanks, guys. You're the best.
We'll see you later. Number 37, Adam Burrish. Carmen Yurko and Harry on ESPN 1000.